Pastor Brad gave us about 3 weeks to look at discipleship, kind of get our reseated, I guess, if you will, or put our back on some foundation. And a lot of us have been through discipleship. A lot of us understand what discipleship is. But as time goes by, we drift away from the basics of it. We find ourselves in a place where we are just going through the motions, and we've lost the heart. We've lost the purpose of it. We've kind of lost sight of really what we're supposed to be doing, what our life is all about. And so this 3 weeks is really going clear back to, and I needed this, so I'm glad that Pastor Brad gave us this 3 weeks to do this, but to go back to the very basic of what discipleship's about and what our lives are about. Because if we don't understand what our life is to be about what the purpose of life is, about what we're supposed to be doing with our life, then there really is no reason for discipleship. And what happens is, you've heard this for a long time, discipleship is not a program, which is absolutely true, but what makes it a program is if we don't have a purpose for it. And if we don't have a purpose, then we just go through the motions and we get to the end of it and we're like, okay, well, that was good. But there was no purpose for it. And it's not really, discipleship is not really about just so we can turn around and disciple somebody else. That's not the purpose of discipleship, even though that's what we say a lot, which is fine, but that's not really what it's about. And so, and even the idea of discipleship is not the end. Just because we go through discipleship and continue to study the Word, maybe we go through D2 or maybe we go to HBI or some seminary somewhere or something like that, that in itself is not the end of it. That is not the goal. The goal is not to just amass a large amount of information in our mind. That is not really what discipleship is all about. So we're going to kind of get back to the fundamentals. I'm not probably going to teach you anything that you don't know here. But it's I think it'll be a good heart check for us to take a look at some of these things. So let's pray, and then we'll get rolling. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all you do. We thank you for your loving us first. We thank you for giving us an opportunity just to serve you, to read your word, to study your word, and to be more like you every day, to be conformed to your image, to be transformed, really. So, Father, we pray that you'll use this time today to draw us closer to you, to give us a view, an inspection of our heart, of our life, of what we're doing with our lives. Really, it's your life. It's your time. So, Lord, help us to understand what we're supposed to be doing. Lord, help me stay focused. Help my mind to stay clear, not to be distracted. And just to focus on your word and being a conduit for you to speak to us today. So we love you. Lord, I do thank you for Jim's life and just investing in the souls of people that you've used him. So, Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing about Jim Boyette, I just real quick about this since we're talking about discipleship. Jim Boyette and Ann, his wife, they discipled years ago. They discipled a couple named Jay and Andre Grimwood, and I have no idea when that was, but it was years ago. And Jay and Andre Grimwood turned around at some point in their life, and they discipled, I met Jay at a place I used to work, and they discipled my wife and I, Becky, my wife and I, and we actually got married in their house. My wife got saved in their house. We got married in their house, and so we have a very close relationship with Jay and Andre. And so when I met Jim, I didn't know Jim at the time, but when I met Jim, when we got to HBF, it was interesting to hear that they were kind of spiritually our great-grandparents, if you will. And then on top of that, a few years later, the people that discipled Jim and Ann, what are their names, Tyler? Do you know?
Mark
Lockwood. Mark, and what's her name? What? Lisa. Mark and Lisa Lockwood, they actually discipled Jim and Ann. And so they're at HBF now. And so it's an interesting trail of people that invest in people's lives. And so you have this connection to them. And so that's kind of an interesting thing. Okay, so we're going to call this discipleship development. And discipleship development is just kind of a name that catches a lot of stuff. And it's about developing our lives in to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to be transformed where we're at. And so we're going to look at this. So discipleship development, when we first start off, of course, we get saved. And then we have, you know, we go through some lessons, and which is fine. And then we have these steps that we go through, if you will, opportunities to learn more about God's Word. We have opportunities to come on Sundays and hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We have the opportunities to come in on, you know, like a midweek service. You have opportunities to listen to the Word of God being preached on the radio. You have the opportunity to iron sharpen iron with getting with people that you know that knows the Word, and you know the Word, and you rub up against of each other, and your lives become more transformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And all that is kind of discipleship. And so it's not about, you know, going through the lessons necessarily, but it is about the Word of God and being in Christ. And so that is the key for us, is being in Christ and abiding in His Word. So I want to take this time really to think about the church before we get started too far. Because discipleship in a church setting is what the church is about. Because discipleship takes people from where they are and moves them to a place where God can use them. You know what I mean? So you take somebody that just gets saved, they're not ready to really run the race that God has for them. So in order for them to run the race that God has for them, they have to study, they have to be taught, they have to be discipled, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and they spiritually grow as they go along through life, and they begin to run this race that God has ordained for them. And so that's what discipleship is. It is this process, if you will, taking somebody where they're at when they get saved, or maybe they've been saved for a long time, but they just never grew. And so discipleship takes them from where they are and gets them to a place where God can use them, fit and meet for the Master's use. And so that is really the key, what discipleship's all about. So, but before we really get into all that, we need to look at why. Why do we need discipleship? And so in 1 Samuel, you don't have to turn there, I just want to read this to you. In 1 Samuel, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" And so one of the things about our life is this. You have to ask the question, what is the cause? Is there a cause for my life? Did God create me for a purpose? That's another word for cause. Is there a purpose? Do I have a purpose? Is there a cause for why I'm here? Is there a purpose for why we're here on Sunday morning? Or is it just to go to church? Is there a purpose that we study God's Word? What is it about your life and my life that gives it purpose? What is that? So here's a definition for you about discipleship. Discipleship is a lifelong journey, a life transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, so that the child of God can fruitfully and faithfully complete the race God has preordained for them. And that's really what discipleship is. It's a lifelong journey from the day you get saved, being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, so that you can faithfully and fruitfully complete the race that God has for you. And without discipleship, that's not going to happen. It will not happen because you will not be prepared for the race that God has for you. You will not become that well-defined soldier, if you want to put it that way, or that farmer, if you want to look at it that way, or that shepherd, if you want to look at it that way, or whatever analogy you want to use. You'll never really be what God wants you to be if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's just the fact. And so as Christians, we have to answer the question, is that something I want to do? Do I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do I want to be fruitful? Do I want to be faithful? Does my life, am I going to discipline my life so that God can use me to do what He called me to do with my life, or am I not going to do that? It's not an issue of being saved. I'm going to assume that if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to be saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to be a disciple. So we're going to kind of move past that. But for Christians, the point is this. Are you going to choose to be fruitful and faithful to Christ or not? That's what we have to figure out. So here's kind of a process, if you will. If you're gonna have a life of purpose, here's some things you got to do, just in a general sense. First, you have to have a goal. If you're thinking about your life purpose, right? Okay, well, what is my purpose? Well, I'm going to use an example of a guy I know. He had a flooring business, and so if you're going to have a flooring business, you have to have some goals along the way, and you're going to be like, okay, well, what do I want to do with my life? Well, I want to own a flooring business. And then so that's the first thing, you got to set some goals. The second thing you got to do is you got to prepare to reach those goals. So what would you have to do? You'd probably have to learn about business. You'd have to learn about putting flooring down. You'd have to learn about wood. You'd have to learn about marketing. You'd have to do all those things. And so that's just the plan that you'd have to do. The third thing you'd have to do is you'd have to live it out. So you'd have to go and actually learn about these things so you can plan to learn them. But if you don't actually go learn these things, you're not going to be a successful floor business guy. So you'd have to actually do it. You'd have to go learn about all these things. You have to research all of them. And then the fourth and final thing is that you'd have to endure to complete that. You'd have to actually go out and lay the wood down. You'd have to go out and start the business. You'd have to invest the money. You'd have to invest the time. You'd have to get up early. You'd have to crawl around on your hands and knees. You'd have to buy all the tools. And you'd have to actually do the work to have the flooring business if you're going to be successful at it. Well, the Christian life is no different. So as Christians, you have to come along and you have to make a decision. Look, I want to be a faithful, fruitful instrument that God can use. That's the goal of my life. Somewhere along the line, Christians have to come up with this idea or this plan or this thought that they say, look, what do I want to do for Jesus? Where do I want to go? What is my life going to be about? And if you don't have spiritual goals for your life, where are you going? So what is your spiritual goals for your life? Where are we going with our life? That's the point. Are we going somewhere? Do you have goals? Do you want to be a fruitful, at the end of your life, do you want to be a fruitful and faithful minister of Jesus Christ? Or maybe you just want to get, or you could say, look, I just want to be a half-baked Christian. I don't want to go all in for Christ. I don't want to be completely sold out for Christ because I want to do some things that I want to do. So I'm going to kind of hit the middle road. And that's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but if that's your goals, then set your goals and be honest with yourself. Look, I'm going to be a half-baked Christian. I'm just going to get right in the middle. I don't want to be completely sold out. I don't want to give everything up. I don't want to completely turn my life over to Christ because I want to do some of the things I want to do. I want to have my own kingdom. I want to serve in God's kingdom. I want to, you know, kind of do that thing, but I want to do my thing. So you're in the middle. Or you could set these goals on this side of the fence. Look, I'm saved, but I really don't want to do anything for God. I just want to do my thing. I don't want people telling me what to do. I want to read the Bible, you know, whenever I want. I definitely don't have time to invest in other people's lives. I don't really have time to, I mean, I might mow the yard or something at the church, but I don't have time to work and invest my life in the kids, the children's ministry. It's just too much work. I don't have that kind of time. So my goal for my Christian life is just to do it my way. And so we have to set these goals. But that's not really what we're talking about today, about that side of the fence, or even the half-baked Christian. What I want to focus on, what we want to focus on today, is the fully sold out Christian. And how do you do that? How do we ever get to that point? That's the question, isn't it? Well, turn to Psalms 86. Psalms 86. Psalms 86, verse 8. Pastor Brad, what happened to the music? So it happens. Psalm, you know, that's the cool thing about the hymnals. You don't have that problem. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter to me either way. Now, if we was in a different type of church, you'd have a lot of amens on that statement, but, you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me either way. Okay, look, Psalms 86, verse 8 through 12. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. So, you know, God, David is making a point here that God is supreme. Verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Look, this is referencing Revelation 5:9 in a prophetic sense. And there is coming a time when all the nations, Jews and Gentiles, are going to come and worship before God. And they're going to glorify his name. The thing is, we should be doing that right now while we have a choice to do it. But so in verse 9, you see that David is talking about all in a very general sense, a very inclusive sense, all nations. But when you get to verse 10, he goes, for thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Verse 11, he switches gears and he goes to David, and I want you to place this verse in your heart, claim this verse, teach me. See, so he goes from all the nations, how great God is in verse 10 to verse 11, teach me thy way. So if you're gonna be serious and you're gonna be on this side of the fence and you're gonna be totally sold out for God and you're gonna be a disciple of Christ and you're gonna be fruitful and faithful, you're gonna have to come to a point in your life where verse 11 says, teach me thy way. And you've got to be taught the ways of God. I've got to be taught the ways of God, O Lord, because we have to know how God wants us to walk. If you get saved and you think you can roll this Christian life on your own, or I can roll this Christian life on my own without learning from God's Word how He wants me to do it, you're not going to get over there. You're going to do it the way you want to do it. I'm going to do it the way I'm going to live this Christian life the way I want to. And you may be sincere about serving God, but if you don't know how He wants you to do it, you're going to go wrong. You're just leaving it to chance that you'll get it right. And I guarantee it, you're not going to get it right. If you don't do it the way God wants you to, teach me, O Lord. David didn't say, look, I got this thing. I'm part of Israel. I'm the chosen people. I'm God's chosen nation. I can do this on my own. No, he didn't do that. He said, look, God, I need you to teach me your way. Don't teach me my way. God, teach me your way. David wanted to get from being here, a half-baked, mediocre Christian, if you will, in a sense of the Old Testament, to somebody that God could really use and lead his people over here. A full-blown soldier for Jesus Christ. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Why? Why would he do that? I will walk in thy truth. So, a Christian that doesn't know how God wants you to do it, you will not walk in his truth. Do you want to walk in God's truth? Do I want to walk in God's truth? If I want to, then I've got to go to God and say, God, teach me. I want to be a pupil of yours. I want to be a disciple of yours. I want to do it the way you want me to. I will walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Verse 12, I will praise thee. Christians, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Praising and glorifying God. You're not going to get there if we don't go to God and say, teach me how to do this. Teach me your word. Teach me how you want me to talk. Teach me how you want me to think. Teach me how you want me to serve in your body. Teach me how to glorify you. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. See, that is a long stretch from being somebody that's saved and says, I'm going to do it my way, I really don't even need the church. I'm just going to do it my way. Or somebody that's in the middle that comes to church and plays church and has a good life, and they, you know, they're good people, and they, but they don't, it's just kind of in and out. They're kind of hot and cold. I think the Bible calls that lukewarm, and actually what God says about that is he just wants to spew them out of their mouth, his mouth. But over here, you have somebody like John that was totally sold out for Christ. Wrote the book of John, wrote the book of 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and God chose him to write the book of Revelation. Totally sold out for Jesus Christ. Right here. Right there. Teach me thy way. So here's key point number one. I have three key points, and here's the first key point. Man's purpose, if you ever wonder about this, and please don't ever forget this, man's purpose is to glorify the Father. That's it. That's all your purpose is. That's all my purpose in life is to glorify the Father with my life. That's it. There is no other purpose to life except to glorify the Father. It makes it really simple. Now, you have all the other stuff that goes on with life. Yes, I get that. We all get that. But when you boil it all down, our life is about bringing glory to God the Father. That's it. Key point number one, man's purpose is to glorify the Father with our life. And you know what the Bible says about that? It is our reasonable service. It's in Romans 12:1. It's our reasonable service. To be totally sold out right here, sold out to God, doing it His way. Teach me, O God, your ways. I want to do it your way, your time, the way you want me to. Totally given over to Jesus Christ. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Wherever God, think about this. He's already, if you're saved, God's got your soul. That's not in question. What is in question, will you present your body the living sacrifice? Will you go where He tells you to go? Will you speak when He tells you to speak? Will you think the way He tells you to think? Will you be the person that God wants you to be? And God says, look, this is just your reasonable sacrifice. That is such a cool thing. He gives us an opportunity to serve Him, and He says, look, that is just a reasonable sacrifice to glorify Him. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. He doesn't put the soul in there because He already has your soul. He knows what your soul's up to. The point is, we are to glorify God. That is what our purpose is to glorify God with our body and our spirit. So key point number two, worship and glorify the Father is just our reasonable service. That's it. That our purpose is to glorify Him, and that is just our reasonable service. So, turn over to John. The book of John, chapter 15. John 15, verse 7. Turning there, I want to bring this up real quick. This reasonable, because that's a lot to state. that's a lot to think about. That's just my reasonable service. But you have to, you're like, look, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that, but I don't really know how to do that. That's where discipleship comes in. So here's another definition for you. I want to make sure we get this. Biblical discipleship. So this isn't man's discipleship. This is actually discipleship from the Word of God. Biblical discipleship is the God-given structure in which spiritual growth takes place. And that's the most simple way I can think of how to describe it or define it. Biblical discipleship is the God-given structure in which spiritual growth takes place. It's not a religious growth. It's not a man set of rules. It's just from the Bible. It's a structure with people investing in your lives. It's where spiritual growth takes place. It takes you from here where you got saved, where whatever ditch you crawled out of, whatever ditch I crawled out of. And if you're willing, and I'm willing, it'll take you all the way over here to be the man and the woman that God wants you to be, to complete that race. And that's what discipleship will do. So, John chapters 15, verse 7 and 8. I'm going to preface this. This has nothing to do with salvation. All right? So if you think about this and you're like, well, wait a minute, this is talking about losing your salvation. This is not talking about losing your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. So please just put that out of your head. Verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And so what we're going to look at, and these two verses is the verses that we're going to use for the next couple weeks and today. We're going to walk backwards through this verse to kind of get to where we are. The first thing is that the point of our life, the purpose of our life is to glorify the Father. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. Okay, so how do we glorify the Father? Well, how we glorify the Father is that we bring fruit to Him. So our life is to glorify the Father, and how we do that is to bring fruit unto the Father. The only way to bring fruit unto the Father is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what you find at the end of verse 8. And how are we a disciple of Christ? I'll give you two things from verse 7 that tells us how to be a disciple of Christ. One is that we abide in Him. And the second thing is that His words abide in us. So let me come at it from the other direction. If we abide in Christ, and we let His words abide in us, then we are a disciple of Jesus Christ. If we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we will bear fruit. And if we bear fruit, we are glorifying the Father. Does everybody follow that? That's the progression. That's how life works. Our purpose, our design, why we are designed, is to glorify the Father. How we do that is to bring fruit unto the Father of our life. Our life should be bearing fruit, sharing the gospel, discipling people, working in the ministry, loving our Father. We're to bring fruit unto the Father. And we do that by being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And how we are a disciple of Christ, we can only be a disciple of Christ if we abide in Him, and His words abide in us. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at this abiding in Him. And the reason this isn't a salvation issue is because of this. If it's a salvation issue, it would be Him abiding in us. Because when we get saved, He abides in us. The question is, are we abiding in Him? Are we abiding in Him? And you'd have to read the whole in the context of this, but are we abiding in Christ? And so I have some examples from the Old Testament that we're going to look at, and a couple from the New, about this abiding. And abiding just means this: to remain, to be constant, to be consistent in Christ. Are we going to stay where Christ puts us, in Him? So here's usually, and just very practically, here's how Christians roll. We'll get all fired up for Jesus, and we'll walk for a while with Jesus, and we'll abide in him for a while until something better comes along, or until things get too busy, or I get distracted, and then I'll go back this way. And so I'm not abiding anymore. I'm doing it my way again. And then something will happen in my life where it falls apart. The wheels fall off the wagon. The wheels fall off the wagon. The wagon. And then, you know, I'll pray and, Lord, help me with this. Put those wheels back on. Fix that flat. Put the door back on the car. Whatever you want to do that. And then I'm all fired up on Jesus again. Roll along for a couple years. Next thing you know, I'm drifting away. That's not abiding. I abide for a while, then I'm in myself, I'm in the world, then I'm back over here. And it's not necessarily a sin issue, though it could be. It's just, we're just kind of happy-go-lucky Christians that just kind of blow around with the wind. But we don't want to do that. That's not abiding. That's not fruit-bearing. That's not really glorifying to the Father. We're just drifting around. We're just drifting around. So let me give you some examples. And while I'm going through this, I just want you to measure up your life compared to these guys. And they're men and women just like you. Some out of the old, some out of the new. And I think you'll get the point of how we're rolling through this. So I want you to look up the verses that we go to. So the first one is in Genesis 4:26. This is abiding. We're just going to look at abiding today, because if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, if you're going to be a fruit bearer, if you're going to bring the Father glory, you've got to abide in Christ. So let's look at, what did I say? Genesis 4:26. Of course, this is after the fall of Adam and Eve. And Seth was a son of Adam and Eve. To him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos, and began men to call upon the name of the Lord. To call upon the name of the Lord. Disciples call on the name of the Lord to guide and direct our path. If you're not reaching out to God, Lord, I need you to direct my path where you want me to go. If you're not calling out to God, God, I need you to show me some light on how to get through this season of life that I'm going through, then we're not a disciple of God. Because what we do is we're like, no, I got this. I can handle this. I can steer this vehicle. I can ride this horse. I know how to do this. But that's not a disciple of Christ. When we need to rely on Him, a reliance on Christ, to get through these troubled times in life. Disciples abide in the Lord. Abide, there's that word, abide. Disciples abide in the Lord as they walk through this life. Because without Christ, you know what the Bible says, without Christ, we can do nothing. Amen. So we need to call on His name to guide us through these pathways of life, so we can remain in Him to be all that He called us to be. We need to be calling on His name. So characteristic number one, abiding disciples of Christ solely rely on His provisions for the mission. Abiding disciples of Christ solely rely on His provisions for the mission. Number two, Abraham. Look at Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. No, verse 3. We'll start with verse 3. Genesis 22, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now, God had, you know, we aren't going to go through this whole story, but God had told him what to do here. He's like, look, take your son, the one that you love, Isaac, and I want you to take him up, and I want you to sacrifice him. Yeah, all right. That's a tough one. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, verse 2, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I will tell thee. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Now, drop down to verse 12. Verse 12 says this. This is after he got there and he was, you know, rolling through the whole thing. And he had him up on the altar and he was going to slay his son. He was right there and his hand was coming down until you get to verse 12. And he said, and the angel of the Lord said, look, hey, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. So a disciple of Christ, an abiding disciple of Christ, obeys the word of God regardless, no matter how hard it is. For Abraham, God called him to slay his son on the altar, the one that he loved. And Abraham said, okay, I will do that at your word. That is a very tough thing to handle. But God's plan, he wasn't going to let him kill him because God has the ultimate sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ. But he said, look, now I know that you fear me. I know that you're an obedient servant. I know that you're a sold out, abiding disciple of Jesus Christ right here because you'll do whatever I ask you to do regardless what the price is. Disciples are willing to give everything up to obey and follow Christ. Is that us? Well, are we willing to give everything up? Anything that he asks? In fact, everything of our life, even our life itself, to be a disciple of Christ. If we are not willing to step out by faith and follow God obediently, to this point, where I'm a faithful and fruitful disciple of Jesus Christ, bringing God glory, then I'm not an abiding, faithful servant. It's just the Word. I'm not. It's just what God's Word's saying. He's given us these examples. Think about this, Hebrews 11. You don't have to look over there. Let me read it to you. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up his son Isaac. Did you ever think, based on that, that some of the trials you go through is actually God testing you? Not with sin. God can't test you with sin. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're tested by sin, that's your flesh. But some of the things that we go through in life, some of those really rough spots that we go through, that's God testing us. Are you really about being who you say you are? Because we can be over here and raise our hand and say amen and say, I'm a sold out Christian. And without testing, we never know. But when push comes to shove and God puts the test on us, we're not even close to being over here. We're just going through the motions. Some of us aren't even here. We're not even lukewarm. We're just flat, stinking cold. And we wouldn't even know that. And praise the Lord, he runs us through the grinder sometimes. Brings us through those tests. So look, if you say, I want to be a sold out Christian. I want to be an abiding disciple. I want to bring the Father fruit. I want to be that Christian. Then let God try us. Let's find out where we are. Because we might sincerely believe we are. But we're no closer to being over there than we're still over here. And we don't know until we go through the ringer. We don't know. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. And we tell our kids that all the time. Look, if you're going to hang out with somebody, prove them. Make sure you aren't hanging out with the wrong people. Adults are the same way. Look, if you're going to build relationships with people, prove it out. Before you step in and you join a church, you better prove it out. Are they about discipleship? Are they about missions? Are they really preaching the word of God? Are they really who they say they are? Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. But let's take that and flip it over and let God do it. It's his word. So let him prove us. God, prove us out. Prove my life out. Am I a hypocrite? Or am I really faithful and fruitful, bringing the Father glory? So where are you? Where am I? Prove it out. So characteristic number two, abiding disciples of Christ are fully obedient to the word, just like Abraham. Fully, 100%, doing it God's way in God's time. Notice Abraham, he got up early and went. He didn't delay 2 or 3 weeks. He did it right there. Turn over to John chapter 6, and number 3. John chapter 6. Look at verse 66. John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back. So these are disciples of Christ that walked no more with him. Well, they were with him until things got a little too demanding, a little too serious. I want you to take one more step, says God, and give this up, because I have a mission for you. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. I want you to be this kind of Christian. I want you to take another step. I'll go this far. God, I will go this far. But I'm not going any further. That's what a lot of Christians do. They intentionally make that decision. I will go this far for you, God, and that's as far as I'm going. I will go to church on Sunday. I'll go to church on Wednesday. And I'll give money, I'll tithe, and I'll even give a little bit to some missionaries, but God, I am not going to the mission field, especially if it's overseas. I'm just not going. That's my money. I work hard for that money. I'm not going to give up $3,000 or $4,000 to go to India or China or Romania or Russia, wherever you want to go, but I'm not going to do it. That's my money. I work hard for that. And besides that, Uncle Sam takes the taxes off of it. And I don't want to give anymore. I don't want to give up that money. I got plans. I'm going to build a swimming pool. I'm not stepping over that line. And his disciples went back. Let's take a look at this. And just notice, just coincidence, I'm sure, but it just happened to be John 6, 66. But anyway, whatever. Walk no more with him. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye go away also? Will ye also go away? And then this profound verse, 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? See, that's a true abiding disciple. I have nowhere else to go. You are my life. You sustain me. We live by every word of God, not by bread. Every word of God that comes out of his mouth, that's what sustains us. So we get to that line and God says, and everybody else goes back and you're all alone. And Jesus looks at you and he says, Jeff, will you step over that line? And you say, you know, I don't have anywhere else to go. You are my all. Yes, I will step over that line. And you step over that line fully consecrated to the mission that God has for you. Fully consecrated. Abiding disciples of Christ are sustained by every word of God. Every word. Number 4. Turn over to Daniel 1. Daniel chapter 1. Okay, we're going to have to speed these up a little bit or we're not going to make it. Daniel chapter 1. Verse 8. And these are all these that we've looked at are people, characters in the Bible that abide. They abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. They abide in God. They remain steadfast. And they have problems just like you and me. They have kids. They have marriages. They have, they have the whole thing going on. Life. They probably got a job. They got, everything that's happening. Hardships of life. Some of them are in times of famine. But they remain faithful to God. And you know Abraham's life. Sometimes he didn't remain faithful. But at the end, he did. All right. Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now, let's just stop there and you go ahead and read the rest of it later. The point is this. Disciples do not want to spot their garments. Disciples of Jesus Christ do not want to have their garments spotted. Disciples desire to be clean, to be holy, ready at all times and usable for the master's use. There's times when we may be over here, but God's not really using us. We may be totally sold out for God, but maybe we're just kind of running idle. God's like, hey, let's rest for a little bit. Okay, I can do that. Let's rest for a second, for a season. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to be defiled by complacency. Disciples of Christ desire to be clean, ready at all times to be used by the Master. Set apart. Disciples that abide are set apart from filth in our lives. So abiding disciples are sanctified. If an individual, a Christian, has sin in their life, and let me just make this as clear as we can. Individual Christians with sin in their life is not abiding in Christ. Because that fellowship has been broken, and you're not abiding in Christ. Now, do we mess up and stumble and sin? Yes. Just confess that to God and get up and go on. Ask God to give you a hatred for that sin. Give me a hatred for the things where I mess up. Yes, we're like that. We do that. But if we get stuck in this circle of chasing our sin around, then we're never usable. Okay, I sin. God, I'm sorry. And then you go around a couple weeks later, sin again, and around and around and around. And that's all we focus on is my sin. Then I'm not usable. I'm not usable. We need to be usable, sanctified. So abiding disciples, characteristic number 4, abiding disciples of Christ, they are sanctified. They are set apart. They hate sin. They want to be used by God, so they'll do everything they can to stay out of sin. Look at Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1 says this. Verse 18, when she saw, this is Naomi speaking, when she saw that Ruth, she, was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking and knew her. Disciples will leave all to follow God. Ruth left everything she had. She left her family, she left her homeland, she left everything she was comfortable with. And sometimes we make this about Naomi, but it wasn't about Naomi at all. It was about God. Because she wanted to go to where God was. She was steadfastly minded to go to where God was to be faithful. Colossians chapter 3. Disciples have a steadfast mind to seek those things which are above. If we're not seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, if our affections are not set, our mind is not geared towards the way God wants us to think, then we're not really abiding in Christ. Our mind is half in the world and half in Christ. We're not seeking. The things that we're seeking are not about the kingdom of God. Ruth was like that. She was resolved to follow and seek those things which God provided, the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God first. And that's what Ruth did. So disciples of Christ characteristic number five, disciples of Christ are single-minded to follow wherever he leads. So see, there's a progression there. We have to be sanctified. We have to be minded to follow Christ instead of follow ourselves. We have to be willing to give everything up, like Ruth did, like Abraham did, if we're going to be real disciples of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be abiding in Jesus Christ. Number six, look at Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. We're going to be studying the book of Ezra this summer. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. We got one more after this and we'll be done. So I know we're getting close to going over. So 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Statutes and judgments. See, a disciple, he prepares for the mission. He prepared his heart. Now, if you look at this verse close, Ezra had prepared his heart. Now, it wasn't that his heart was the focus of this, but he had prepared his heart to seek the law. He had prepared his heart to study God's word. He had prepared his heart to seek the truth. He had prepared his heart to be established in the word of God. And so you can't really come to God's word with a sin-filled heart. You got to come to God and say, God, help me learn your word. I'm coming to you humbly, Lord, confessing my sin. Now please teach me your word. Teach me how you want me to walk. And so Ezra had been there and his heart was ready. His heart was prepared to do three things. One was to seek the law, the word of God. One was to live the law, to do it. And three was to teach it, the statutes and judgments to Israel. And so if you're going to be over here as a disciple, if you're going to be over here as an abiding disciple in Christ, not only do you have to have your heart ready, but you have to be seeking God's word. You have to be living God's word. You have to be doing it. And you need to be teaching it. You need to be investing that into other people if you're going to be an abiding disciple. So to make it easier, I gave you three D's on this. You desire, you do, and you make disciples. If you want to be an abiding disciple, if you want to abide in Jesus Christ. Abiding disciples of Christ, desire, do, and make disciples. Number seven. Luke 2, verse 49. Luke 2, verse 49. This is when Jesus was a young lad. There's not really much written about Christ when he was little. Young, anyway, I'll say that. 2:49. He had stayed back and he was in the temple. And anyway, when he got to 49, and he said, Jesus said to them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Must be about my Father's business. Disciples are about the Father's business. That's what we do. We're about my Father's business. That's what Jesus was doing. He was about his Father's business. If we are about our own business, building our own kingdom, we're not abiding in Christ. We're abiding in ourselves. And don't be fooled. God will not share his glory with anybody. You do not glorify yourself. You do not steal God's glory. He will not share his glory with anybody. Abiding disciples of Christ are Christ-centered. They're centered on the kingdom of God. So when we look at these characteristics about abiding, And if you measure your life, don't measure your neighbor's life, don't measure my life, measure your own life, I'll measure mine, against these characteristics, would you say that you're an abiding Christian? Are you a Christian that is over here and says, look, I don't really want to do any of it. I'm thankful that I'm saved, and I'm fine being here. I just want to get through life, hang out at the lake. And I like going to, I'm not going to lie to you. I really don't like going to the lake. I'd rather go to the mountains, but it's okay. Or do you want to kind of half and half or somewhere in between? But half and half is probably where we find most of us, kind of half and half, kind of right here. We're kind of abiding, kind of over here a little bit with Christ. Some days we're over here with me, and so we're kind of in the middle, just kind of doing it when it's convenient, the convenient Christian life. Well, our purpose from key point number one is to glorify the Father, not myself. Key point number two is it's our reasonable sacrifice to glorify the Father and to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And key point number three is abiding is deliberate. It's deliberate. We saw that from those seven people. If you could go back and talk to those seven people we looked at, they deliberately decided somewhere along their life to be all in for Christ. Deliberately. Intentionally. I'm going to serve my God with everything I've got. And so you can't go through your Christian life and just hope that you'll end up over here, because you won't. Your flesh is against you, the world's against you, the adversary's against you, and he doesn't want you to glorify God. And you'll never get over here if you don't deliberately make a decision and say, look, I want to be all in. I will come across any line that God asked me to come across. I will come over here, and on my last day on the planet, I will be able to say, look, I finished my course. I abided in Christ. I glorified the Father. We have no idea. If you took the fruit basket of your life, you have no idea if you have how much fruit we have to present to the Father at the judgment seat. I mean, people that live their whole life over here, look, I don't really want to do anything for God. I'm just thankful that I'm saved. I'll go to church once in a while or whatever. They aren't going to have much in their basket. It's going to be a sad day for them. Yes, they're saved. They're going to heaven. That's a glorious time. But what they present to the Father to glorify Him, they never abided in Christ, and the Word probably never abided in them, and there's nothing in the basket. Where these over here that deliberately decided and said, yes, I will do whatever God calls me to do, they glorified God with their life. It's a deliberate, intentional decision that you have to make and plan for if you're going to be an abiding disciple of Jesus Christ. You will not get here if you don't deliberately make that decision and plan to get here. And if you're like, well, look, I just don't want to do that. The only thing I can really say, there's one word that sums that up. We're just rebellious. And that's it. We're just rebellious. So you may be here, and Christ may not even be in you. You may not even be a Christian. You may not be saved. And so the journey to start to glorifying the Father has not even begun for you yet. Or you may be here and you're saved, and you're just not abiding. Or you may be here and you're kind of in the middle somewhere. Or you may be here and you may be over here in this position where you're fully sold out. And praise the Lord for that. And if you are, then there's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of work to get done. Ephesians 5:16, and you don't have to turn there, but I want to sum all this up for us about abiding. And you're like, I'll do that next year, or I'll get saved tomorrow, or whatever. But look, here's what 5:16 says. Redeeming the time. I'll be sold out next week. After I get that pool built, then I'm going to get sold out. After I climb that one last mountain, I'm going to get serious about God. After I go to the lake this year, and then I'm going to sell my boat, and then I'm going to get serious about God. After I do that one last job, after I do that one last project, after I do that, after I go on that one last vacation, after I get my kids out of the house and I get them off to college, then I'm going to get serious about serving God, and God has no provision in His word for that. He says, look, redeeming the time because the days are evil, and you know the days are evil. God desires for you to be serious, desires for me to be serious about serving Him, about bringing Him glory. That's what it's all about, is about glorifying the Father. And so look, wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, wherever you are with your relationship with God, wherever you are with your relationship with the Word, the one thing I want you to answer today in your own heart is this. Are you abiding? Based on the seven characters that we studied, are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Because if you're not abiding, you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. Do our lives measure up to those seven people that we looked at? Those seven characteristics that we looked at today. Are you abiding? Am I abiding in Jesus Christ? Because if we're not, we're not His disciples. If we're not His disciples, we're not bringing fruit to the Father. And if we're not bringing fruit to the Father, then we're not glorifying the Father. And if we're not glorifying the Father, then our life's purpose that God gave to us is not being completed. So the decision is this. I either want to do something about that, or I don't. And that's your decision. It's not my decision. It's for me, but not for you. I mean, I can't make that decision for you. And you can't make that decision for me. Because at the end, my friends, when you get to the end, and God says, did you glorify me? You can't lie about what's in that basket. He'll know. And you're not going to like pick up fruit along the way and put it in as you get there. That's serious. Because when we stand before God with our basket of fruit, if you will, this is what I'm giving back to my Creator, the one that died for me, the one that gave it all up for me. And I'm going to say, look, I was just too stinking busy to glorify you. I was too concerned about what I wanted. I wanted to do it my way. And my basket's empty. Your basket's empty. But if we're sold out and we're abiding and our basket overflows, God, this is for you. This is what you did with my life. And so discipleship, it all starts with abiding in Jesus Christ. Remaining through thick and thin in Jesus Christ. Let's pray and we'll be out.